T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Back here on the second guest show, Mike to tell you along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Come on down and see us. We'll be here until 7 o'clock tonight, and we'll throw it to the Will Wade Show, and we'll try to get LSU back on their winning ways. Bob, before we go back to our Oakland Hard Jewelers talking text line, you got a statistical for us.
Well, one thing, you look at the 49ers and the Packers, and it does – matter what you do in the postseason, because you look at the regular season. I look at Aaron Rodgers. He was like, he's now 0-4 in playoff record against the 49ers, though he's beaten them in the regular season each of the last 2 years. And you look at the 49ers, it's not how you start, how you finish. Mike, that's why you always try and encourage a fan base that where you're at in September might not be the case where you're at in December or January.
That's true.
Since stumbling, you know, the 49ers at one time were 3-5. That's a lot of games, 8 games. 3-5 start, they've now won 9 of the last 11 contests. And they've had a knack for delivering away from home. You might think they got to play home games. But, Mike, that's impressive. They won 9 of 11. So, listen, the 49ers are hot. Now, you would think eventually the Rams will beat San Francisco. But, Mike, as of late, they're 0-6. And we all, the Saints, who that nation, we hate the Rams. Because what occurred, they're winning 17-0. Think about how close and how competitive the NFL is.
And the 49ers, how the 49ers got in there.
The 49ers are one game to go into the Super Bowl. They were down, Mike, if you look in a crystal ball and all of a sudden you were a 49ers fan, you might have been a little discouraged. You were down 17-0. Then look where they're at right now. 17-0, they don't beat the Rams. They're not going to the postseason. And just look where they beat the Cardinals, beat the Packers, and look where they're at. And they listen. They're confident going against the Rams in L.A.
I would be if I beat that team six times.
And the Rams probably think, okay, this could be our opportunity. But
the pressure's on them.
Yeah.
No question.
The bottom line is like that the 49ers are going to go to L.A. and said there's no home field advantage like you had in Green Bay. Because if they told the general public as far as who could be in SoFi Stadium – I guarantee you the 49ers would have more fans than the Rams, because there's a lot of the fan base, a lot of L.A. people that are jumping that 49ers back.
There are 49er fans in L.A.
Without a doubt.
We're going to go to our Oakland Hard Jewelers talking text line. We're going to go to James and Jefferson. James, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, guys, listen, I just don't want to change the opportunity to really change the attitude of this offense. And by that, I mean – I know I said this last week. We sucked on the offensive line. I want to get a guy like Kenyon Green. Give me the big guy that used to play with Young, Kennard, that center from Iowa you mentioned the other day. And then maybe what's the kid from Central Michigan, from Austria of all places, who runs like the wind. I want to change the complexion of the line, and then – the first thing I want to do before anything else happens is somebody please give them a call and try to get him on the defense. I mean, as a consultant, something. I know everybody loves DA here, but I would much rather have Zim and DA if possible. But Zim would be a great asset on helping this defense and probably take a lot of pressure off of Sean moving forward. But he's going to give you a couple of guys on the quarterback side that I don't think anybody's mentioned just yet. Cousins is going to be available. I know he's a little expensive, but they're willing to give up a second-round pick, take a second-round pick for Cousins and reduce his salary and ship him out to somebody. And what about Andrew Luck? I know he's been on hiatus for a minute, but I think he'll probably be the least expensive if we're talking, comparing him to guys like Russell Wilson and Rodgers.
So when you talk about Andrew Luck, he's retired. Andrew Luck.
He's retired, but he'll come back. I mean, come on.
James, I talked to Rick Venturi about this. He does color for the Colts, and I've talked to him about it a few times that, you know, Jimmy Irsay has spoke to Luck about, would you consider coming back? And he was like, nope, I'm not coming back. I'm never playing again. So I think Luck has went down that path that he's not going to ever play again. I mean, he's had a ton of injuries. And I think when you're out of it for that long.
Money's a multimillionaire, depending on what lifestyle he wants to live.
Bob, you like Cousins more than I do, Kurt.
Yes, all I know is he beat the Saints in the Superdome. And, boy, P.J. Williams is right there in coverage. He dropped a dime. Remember that, Mike? We made Kurt Cousins like a Hall of Famer. We made Jimmy not Jimmy Garoppolo, Alex Smith. Like a Hall of Famer. So we've done that in the past.
Kurt did that when he was in Washington.
But I think Kirk Cousins, that would be like a better version of what you have right now as far as production, but maybe not at the elite of the elite level, if that makes sense.
And I think Sean, he knows to get to the big game, you got to have a big-time quarterback.
Yeah,
I think it narrows down that field short.
I would take Russell Wilson over Kirk Cousins, but I would take Kirk Cousins over Jameis Winston. I definitely would do that.
And then we'll see how Jimmy Garoppolo falls into that.
I think Jimmy Garoppolo, Kirk Cousins, they're like the same dude. They're very similar. They're winners.
I'll take Jimmy G over
Cousins.
Jimmy
G has one more. But he has a better supporting cast. The 49ers supporting cast is better than the Vikings, but I think they're kind of the same cat. Now, Derek Carr, the Raiders would be crazy to get rid of Derek Carr.
But it's going to depend on who the new coach is.
Right.
On that particular part. So that all comes into play. Thank you, James. We appreciate it. We're going to go to DB on the West Bank. DB, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
What's going on, family?
All right. What's going on, DB?
Yeah, I just want to say this. Sean Payton, he like is New Orleans, and if Sean Payton wanted to leave and take his talent somewhere else, you know, we have to respect his decision.
Yeah,
because
sure.
He put in a lot of blood, sweat, and tears for us. But I was gonna say, if Sean Payton was to leave and we was to bring in somebody else, we should go get Eric Bieniemy from Kansas City. Who that?
No, I think Eric Bieniemy is going to have an opportunity.
I agree with you. I think this is the year he gets it.
You know, if you look at the Rooney Rule, I like Eric Bieniemy more than Byron Leftwich. As far as skins on the wall, if you're going to hire with the Rooney Rule, a minority coach.
I think Leftwich may be in Jacksonville. I think Byron may get that job.
He get to go back home.
Go to Jacksonville.
Because that's where he played and stuff. I like Dennis Allen again because, to me, I just like Dennis Allen being the head coach, even though it's not an offensive coach, because Pete Carmichael knows how to run a Sean Payton offense.
And you think about who's left in the playoffs. Look, the four coaches. What's their background?
It's an offense.
Everyone, huh?
Yeah. No, it's all offense.
It's all
That's
offense.
Why, to me, I'm telling you, Eric Bieniemy might be running the show sometimes, but Andy Reid has his input.
Come on, Andy's the master, he's the master conductor.
I'm telling you, you know who's the master conductor and he has to win a Super Bowl? It's San Francisco.
Mike Shanahan.
Because Shanahan, what happened at debacle with Atlanta, and then is that that cat, to me, I know the 49ers, they're crazy. John Lynch would never let him go. Because I know that cat knows what he's doing.
He's one of the best play callers in the business.
I agree.
He knows what he can do as a play caller, and very much like his dad, Mike, Kyle is the exact same.
He's way better than the Rams coach.
Sean McVay.
Sean McVay is like a young, sexy guy. He's Hollywood in L.A., but he ain't on that level with the 49ers.
Thanks so much, DB. We appreciate the call. We'll go to a break and then come back with Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Senior Bowl, right here on the Big 870.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Super
back
freak,
here
super freak.
On the second guest show, Mike to tell you, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're going to go back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Joe in Mandeville. Joe, Bobby wanted us to play that intro music for you.
Yeah, Joe super is freak. A super freak from the UT. Yes.
Robert and Mike, how y'all doing?
All right, Joe.
Real quick, when the game ended last night, I'm telling you, I wanted more. And I don't understand what the NFL and the networks are thinking. When I see a series like Yellowstone is netting like $165 million and they're binge-watching, we can all agree that was binge-worthy football last night. Okay? I'm being that serious.
I'm serious, yeah.
Deciding this game on a coin toss and, you know, the first team that scores a touchdown, I don't think it was fair because it was a damn shame that the Bills didn't get a shot at it, okay? Let them play another quarter. You could play all the way till 12 o'clock. I guarantee you the advertisers would go for it, okay?
Right.
Because they would have a huge audience. I just don't understand. I don't know why they feel compelled to go ahead and limit the game to 3 hours and 30 minutes.
Well, I can tell you, Joe.
Joe, Bob got the answer for it.
Joe, it's like it's not even an opinion. It's 1,000%. Everything has to be collectively bargained between the players and the management. So, in other words, when they always bring in, like, if you extend the game 5 quarters or whatever it might take, it's going back and forth. It's highly entertaining, but the players have to agree upon to want to be in that type of atmosphere. And then you look at potentially whoever won this game, the disadvantage there might be going against the Bengals in the next postseason game to go to the Super Bowl. It's as simple as that. It's not like now. To me, if you want to limit the number of plays and to give both teams an opportunity, maybe not at the 25-yard line like you do in college football, but why not give both teams an opportunity to put the ball on the 40-yard line? And then you might limit the plays in that regard, but it has to be negotiated, and then both teams have a chance. Because we all know the Saints kicked the field goal to go to the Super Bowl against the Vikings. Oh, we got to change the rules. So now, if I don't know if the Bills' defense, they were number one defense, if they'd have bowled up and forced a field goal, then the Bills would have had a chance to come back and score a touchdown or maybe extend the game. But I'm telling you, they don't want these five and a half quarter games or like LSU and Texas A&M. Remember, it was like 70-something. Whatever, what is it, like seven overtimes? That's what they're trying to avoid, Joe. I'm telling you.
Wait a minute, hold on, Bob.
Yeah.
So you're telling me, now this is a playoff game now.
Yeah, it's a playoff game.
They won't go that extra mile for a Super Bowl? Are you telling me that a player, they don't want to play
because
for a Super Bowl, they're more concerned about numbers of play?
because it's not just that team. It's all the 32 teams that are involved and how they vote on it. You understand what I'm saying? So you might be the Jacksonville Jaguars and how they vote on stuff. It has to be collectively bargained what they're going to do. I mean, it's not good maybe for the fans or for TV. And then, listen, you can get hurt in the first quarter. Look at Honey Badger. He got a knee to the head.
Yep.
You don't think that affected the Chiefs in their secondary? And they might say, oh, we might play these extra snaps. And then a player gets hurt because he's worn down. Because the Bills' defense, even though they were number one, they were worn down.
And you could hear the breathing coming out of that.
The Bills' defense got humbled by that Chiefs' offense. So they're looking at that. Okay, how does that come into play to extend a player's career and even the next game involved? You know what's almost old school? And, Joe, I guess you remember this. There was a game where the San Diego Chargers played the Miami Dolphins. You remember Kellen Winslow?
They had to cart him off the field.
Was so freaking tired in that overtime, they carried him off the field. And then they go up to Cincinnati the next week. It's like 70, 80 degrees colder. And I'm telling you, the Chargers were better than the Bengals then, but the Bengals won because Dan Fouts couldn't throw a brick, whatever, because it was so freaking cold. But it did affect the game. So that's why I think they look at all that, Joe. Now, for the fans' perspective, we want them to play seven, eight quarters. I keep playing, sun, net, whatever. But I'm telling you, until the players agree to that, you won't see that.
Thank you, Joe. We appreciate the call, bud. We'll go to a break, and we'll come back with the executive director of the Senior Bowl, Jim Nagy, right here on the Big 870. Welcome back to the Second Guest Show. Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, the executive director of the Senior Bowl, Jim Nagy. Jim, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Man, I know you're busy, so we appreciate the time, brother.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me back on.
Jim, Bob's got a couple questions, but I'll ask you one first. I know everybody talks about quarterbacking because, man, you look at how, you know, the playoffs have signaled out. Either you got one or you're looking for one, and those big-timers get you to the big game. But I think the most intriguing part for me and what I do is the big men up front. And I really think defensive line, especially from picks 20 through about 38, to look at people like a Logan Hall from Houston. Jermaine Johnson, who I think is a really good talent, former Georgia player at Washington State, Florida State. Devontae Wyatt from Georgia. Cameron Thomas, the pass rusher from San Diego State, and certainly Phil Mathis, who's a Louisiana guy, played at University of Alabama. To me, that's where, man, you got some talent. That's where it's assembled that along that defensive line, and everybody's looking to upgrade their defensive line, either at end or tackle.
Yeah, no, Mike, you hit the nail on the head. And I think look no further than what happened this weekend in all the games. I mean, you had, Tennessee's defensive line with Denico Autry and Jeffrey Simmons, whatever they ended up having, 8 or 9 sacks as a group there in Tennessee. You got to put heat on the quarterback. As much as we saw the quarterbacks play great, but if you don't have a great one, you got to put heat on those guys anyway. And I'll take that back to my time with the Patriots. We had that undefeated team going into the Super Bowl against the Giants, and you know they got a lot of inside pressure on Tom Brady with guys like OC and Strahan and those guys. We couldn't block them, and it was just a game changer. So yeah, all those names you brought are great ones. I think all those guys got a chance to go, you know, in the late first round, like you said, in that 20 to 35, 40 range. And there's other guys like Arnold Ebiketie from Penn State, the guy that's getting some late first round love in the league right now. Majay Sanders from Cincinnati. It's a really strong group. You know, you brought up Logan Hall was the first name you brought up. Peyton Turner's teammate from Houston last year, who we know Peyton ended up over there with the Saints in the first round last year. So if you need pass rush help this year's game, you're gonna find plenty of it this year's Senior Bowl.
Now, you know, Jeff, just talk about how much the Senior Bowl has grown in South Alabama, the whole Mobile, Fairhope community. I mean, it's unbelievable how this is like a major stop, a big part of what the NFL wants to do to promote the upcoming season and the future prospects.
Yeah, you know, we've worked really hard to continue to promote the game heavily on social media the last 4 years. That's been a big part of it. 4 years ago, we had just over 15 million impressions on social media. And this year, we just ended up 2021 with over 350 million impressions. So, and that's helped. That's helped just grow the visibility of the game. I think it's always been a big deal on the Gulf Coast here from, you know, the Panhandle of Florida over to you guys in New Orleans. But it's taken on more of a national scope, and it's been a great game for a long, long time. We're just doing our best now to let everyone see what we're doing down here.
Now, Jim, how does this affect you? Because you look at the underclassmen versus, you know, it's called the Senior Bowl for a reason. But I'm looking at my understanding last Friday, 73 underclassmen have been granted special eligibility for the draft. That's the fewest in the past 9 years. So does that even come into play, or think that just fluctuates? And how do you view that? But your aspect of the game going forward, because it seems like you might have a number of other classmen, if they didn't go to NFL, you might not wait for the opportunity to be in a game and get the exposure like the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, no, those numbers are going down. It kind of hit a peak a couple of years ago. That number was close to 150 players.
Right.
Underclassmen. And now we're seeing kind of a downturn in that. And I think a lot of these guys have seen former teammates try to make that early jump to the league and not get drafted and have it not really pan out well for them. So I think we're seeing it kind of correct itself right now. But I'll say one thing, like we've 7 or 8 years ago when Phil Savage, my predecessor, was here at the game, the league office made a concession where you could bring juniors to the Senior Bowl if they'd graduated on time, because, you know, that's what kids are at school to do, right? They're there to get their diploma. So why stand in their way of a good opportunity if they've done everything they had to do, in college? So we can bring juniors to graduate now. You know, we had 16 juniors in the game last year, which was an all-time high. And all you got to do is look at the quarterback position this year, getting Sam Howell from North Carolina and Carson Strong from Nevada, you know, two guys that a lot of teams in the league have first-round grades on right now. You know, those guys were juniors. So those guys are definitely helping our rosters. But I do, if you just look at the numbers, it looks like we've gotten more kids opting to go back to school for their last year because, again, I think they've seen a lot of buddies go down that path and not work out for them.
Jim, if somebody hasn't seen Jalen Tolbert from South Alabama, you know, and I've watched him closely the last couple of years, this guy's caught 146 passes, but 16 of them have been touchdowns, a long, lean receiver, and he's got some giddy up after the step. He's not a household name, but I think this is an opportunity to push himself in with a spot, possibly late in round one, or certainly very early in round two. So your observation of Jalen Tolbert as a player, because Saints got the other guy from a year ago in Baker and drafted him in round seven. But I think a lot of eyes have been on Tolbert the last few years.
Yeah, Mike, we've been watching Jalen since his high school days here. He's a Mobile kid. He grew up and went to high school at McGill-Tulane High School here, a big Catholic school here in town, and stayed put and came to South Alabama and you know, had a phenomenal career. I think he's only one of four receivers in Sun Belt history to have over 3,000 yards receiving. Like you said, he's a guy that's almost 6'2". He's 200 pounds. He's going to run probably in the high 4.4s, I would think. You know, just talking to him today, you know, he's a guy that's working really hard. He's a good route runner. They kind of really showcased him in the offense this year with Major Applewhite coming down and being the offensive coordinator. They moved him around a ton. You know, last year Major was up at Alabama, and they really kind of used Jalen like they did Devontae Smith at Alabama the year before, just moving around and trying to get the ball in his hands any way they can. So, yeah, I think right now Jalen's probably projected to be a fringe top 100 guy, that late third, early fourth. But, yeah, I'm with you. I think when it's all said and done, He's going to end up somewhere on day two. He's a really good player. You bring up Kaywon Baker, who they drafted out of South Alabama. Yeah. The Saints did. That was more of a special teams player they were drafting. If you draft Jalen Tolbert, you got someone that's going to come in and be able to help probably right away at wide receiver.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Like you're talking about players who get their degree and they might still have some eligibility left. I'm looking at, I was reading this article, 27 players you mentioned, including quarterback Sam Howell from North Carolina, Carson Strong of University of Nevada. But when you get Oregon players like All-American defensive end, he sounds like he's from Louisiana, Kayvon Thibodeau, are entering this season's draft with eligibility remaining after finishing their degree and notifying the NFL. Then you look at a guy like Thibodeau expected to be in contention for the first overall selection in this year's draft. Now, injuries limited to him, to 11, 14 games, whatever would occur with him. So those type players, if they know their draft status, is it almost, even though they graduated, they go, well, I'm not really going to the Senior Bowl because I already know I'm going to get drafted. How complicated is that for y'all?
The other thing, too, Jim can talk about, a lot of them go to meet the executives. Right, Jim?
Right.
Yeah, but they gotta get on the field, guys. Yep. Like, we don't just bring guys to come interview. They got to participate. And not even specific to Kayvon's situation, but, you know, the disappointing thing about some of the coverage of the draft is, like, way early. We're talking, like, last summer. Kayvon Thibodeau was anointed to be – I mean, we're basically, the media was suiting this guy up for a gold jacket already. And,
right.
and not even specific to him, but a lot of kids see that stuff and they buy into it. And in all reality, that's not where the NFL has them. And so, this game makes sense for probably about 99% of the players in the draft. If a guy like Aiden Hutchinson, there's only four seniors this year that declined our invite, Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan being one of them. And I went to school with his dad at Michigan. And like when he called to tell me Aiden wasn't going to come, I didn't fight him on it. Aiden's going to be a top five pick.
You're right.
If you're going to be a top five pick, I get it. But if you're if you're somewhere in the middle of the first round and if you have a good week down here and can move up a couple spots, I mean, up there in that, this game makes more sense for those guys early in the draft than it even does the late round guys. Because if you go from like where Daniel Jones did a couple years ago to probably that somewhere in the 20 to 25 range and you go six overall, he made like $14 million down here. And that's with the GM saying that he fell in love with the player in Mobile. So, I think it makes sense for almost all these guys. But, yeah, some of these guys kind of read where the NFL has them pegged, whether the NFL has them pegged there or not. And they kind of buy into that. And sometimes that can be a tough sell.
Jim, big offensive lineman, because now you're all quarterbacks. And certainly, while we talked about the defensive line, you got a big man like Trevor Penning and Bernard Raymond. But one of the guys, and you can talk about those two, but, man, Kennard, to me, is interesting from Kentucky because, man, he got a keister on him. If I'm a running back, I just follow that big man downfield. And he's played tackle. A lot of people are looking at him inside. But this is a week for him to maybe showcase the fact that he can play tackle, especially right tackle.
Yeah, and can play guard. I mean, that really wasn't – I mean, again, these guys, I mean, all these offensive linemen are getting paid regardless of where you're lining up these days. It used, you know, left tackle used to be the primo position, but offensive line overall is so valued right now that all these guys getting paid, whether you play center or guard. But, yeah, Darian's a guy that he's probably in that late first, early second round mix right now. I think he can play tackle myself, but I think a lot of people in the league want to see him at guard, so he'll do some guard work down here. You bring up Trevor Penning. I think the only thing missing on Trevor's resume is his, he hasn't shown it against true NFL guys yet. You put on the Northern Iowa tape at the FCS level, he is an absolute bully on tape. I mean, he's a dominant player. He's exactly what you want to see from a small school guy. And I think the last box he has to check is come down here and block some guys that'll play at the next level. And he could get from the late first round up into the top 10 or maybe even the top 5. I think he's got a chance to be one of the biggest movers coming out of our week. So,
Jim, I agree.
Those are some really good players.
I think he's one of these guys a lot of people don't talk about much, but I think he could end up being a top dozen pick. Athletically, there's not much he can't do. Nice to see how well or how quickly he can adjust to playing another level of competition. What about the young man, Jatari Carter from Southern? He played right up the road from me at White Castle High School. So how's Carter making out?
Yeah, we just got a Jatari recently. Really excited to get him. You know, we've put our eyes on him for the first time. They opened the season at Troy. And one of our scouts, our director of football operations, Michael Coe, is up there checking him out. Came back really impressed. And, you know, he is a large human being. You've seen him, Mike.
Yes, he is.
He's thick everywhere. He is a big, thick dude, and he can come off the ball and move people. So, again, he's a little bit in the Kennard area. Like, he played tackle at Southern. Teams are going to want to see him play guard, so he's going to come down here and cross-train at both those spots. You know, last year we had two HBCU players in the game. Neither of those guys got drafted. One ended up, you know, Brian I'm blanking on Brian's last name right now. He's a corner from NC Central. Went to camp with the Seahawks and ended up in the Saints practice squad. But these two guys, we got two guys. We got he in a corner from Fayetteville State, Josh Williams. And I think both those guys will get drafted this year. They're both really good players.
Now, you know, Jim, when you look at, obviously, everyone looks at the quarterback position. And obviously, look at you hear the name Matt Corral, Kenny Pickett, Matt Corral. And we were talking about Sam Howell and you know, Carson Strong, my understanding from Nevada, but who do you, because they said, I don't know, it's kind of a down year for quarterbacks, considering when you look at the outstanding quarterback play when you watch in the postseason, I mean, it was almost too good to be true, considering the players and, you know, Joe Burrow and obviously a lot of influence here. But you know, we all know about Pat Mahomes.
And Josh.
Even though he lost, but I mean, that has to still be a big part of what you're trying to attract to the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, for us to have guys like Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott and Josh Allen and Justin Herbert playing our game, it's certainly
right.
an easy recruiting tool to get guys here to Mobile at that position. But, yeah, I mean, and the other guy is Malik Willis from Liberty is going to be in that mix. You know, they're all different. I mean, that's kind of a cool thing about this quarterback group is that they all bring a little bit something to the difference of the table in terms of skill set. And there's different reasons to really buy into them, and there's reasons to kind of have reservations on them. I'll say this, like, you know, this is we see it every year. There's guys that get drafted high that don't pan out, and then you've got some guys in the mid-rounds that do. And even in last year's class, you got Davis Mills from Stanford, who Houston took in the third round.
Yep.
You could make an argument. Mac Jones was the best rookie quarterback, and Davis Mills was the second best.
Yes,
and those
strong
guys
one.
Were the fifth, yeah, and those guys were the fifth and the sixth quarterbacks taken in last year's draft. I mean, those guys both had better rookie years than the number one overall pick, Trevor Lawrence. So it'll be like this year's class, none of those guys might not be being talked about as top 10 picks right now. But that's not to say a year from now we're on the phone talking about that group and you could have a couple guys that have really good rookie seasons.
Jim, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Like I said, I know it's a busy time. And we want to, you know, thank you for everything you do at the Senior Bowl and highlighting these players from all across the country and getting them to come there. It is the focal point. You know, Bobby and I have talked about this. Man, years ago, maybe growing up, everybody wanted to go to Hawaii. Where their deal is, I can make my name at the Senior Bowl, and then I can pay for that trip to Hawaii.
Right.
I don't need to play in the Hula Bowl. So what you've done and people before you, just been phenomenal to really put this game on the football map, and everybody wants to go down there to see it.
Yeah, even though, Jim, is Reese's still a sponsor? Because I remember that. Like, Reese's being a big part of the Senior Bowl.
He's looking for candy.
No, the thing is, I don't know why I remember that, but I'm like, oh, yeah, Reese's is really participating in the Senior Bowl. Are they still a big part of it?
They are. Reese's is still our title sponsor. We are the Reese's Senior Bowl. And they just dropped off a 400-pound pallet of candy the other day. So if you need anything, just let me know. We'll send you some boxes.
He'd be like a rat. Them bags would be popped open, Jim. I guarantee.
Reese's peanut butter cup. Who doesn't like that?
Man.
Who doesn't like that? Come on.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, Jim.
Okay. Thanks,
that was Jim Nagy, executive director of the Senior Bowl. He does a fantastic job, and, man, they have so many people that travel to Mobile to watch that particular game. We'll be back and finish it up here on Second Guess. Here on the Second Guest Show, Will Wade coming up. Bobby, end it for us.
All right. Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who dat?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!